What's up, beautiful people? Kirby Hossaman here, trying to deliver you just a little bit more marketing joy. And today's episode actually comes from a live speech that I gave in January at SKUCon. I talked about finding your perfect target, your perfect customer, attracting them, and reaching them. So let's take a listen or a watch on this DMJ 101.
I want to start just with an admission. I'm nervous. And I think I'm nervous because this is a group that I admire, right? So many people in here that run amazing businesses that I pay a lot of attention to whenever, this is like the E.F. Hutton of the industry, right? Whenever you guys speak, I listen. And so the idea that I am here speaking to you, I was joking with Catherine backstage. I said, I'm speaking tomorrow, not nervous. Today, a little bit nervous, so bear with me. So, all right, but before I kind of jump into it, quick question, because I've been talking to suppliers and I've been seeing some stories around here, and this is kind of unrehearsed, I'm just curious. They always say a lawyer should never ask questions he doesn't know the answer to, and I'm about to do that. So I've been hearing stories that in 2023, many distributors and suppliers were down. So if you're willing to be a little bit open and transparent with me, by a show of hands, in 2023, how many of your sales were down? I appreciate your honesty, I appreciate your candor. How many of were up? Okay, that doesn't surprise me based on the group and you know, folks who are educating and doing this sort of thing. Let me ask it a different way. How many of you were happy with your business last year? Huh? Kind of a mixed bag there, huh? Okay, how many of you would like to grow in 2024? All right, good, okay. So I want to start with a really important, immutable truth. If everyone is your customer, no one is your customer. Look, none of us have the time, the treasure, the talent to chase everybody. When I'm working with clients, I'm also a coach for the Small Business Development Center, and I tell people, you know, if everybody's your customer, nobody's your customer, and I say, I can't afford a Super Bowl ad, and most of my clients can't afford a Super Bowl ad either, because that's the one way that you can reach everybody. For the rest of us, we need to be more specific. And the problem is, when we try to have everybody be our customer, we blend completely in with the masses. So, distributors, okay, exciting. We're gonna do both. You sell the same product from the same suppliers at roughly the same price, right? Like, I know that some folks will be like, well, we get better pricing from this person, or we get better, we're selling the same products from the same people at the same price, right? And so it's really easy for us to look exactly the same. It's one of the reasons, by the way, that I think it's hilarious on the promotional products professionals page when somebody scratches out the logo when they're trying to source a pen, right? Holy shit! Like, State Farm buys pens? Who knew? Right? And suppliers, I hate to break it to you, but you have a similar problem, right? You have similar products that many of us can source from other places. They're, you know, often about the same price. And, you know, we often, and the other thing about it is, many suppliers, most suppliers, are using about the same marketing channels to get to all of us, right? It's whenever I'm out of the room and I'll be talking with our marketing director and I'll have my email open and I hear ding, 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 ding. It's 10 o'clock and I'm getting emails from all the suppliers trying to stand out. Shift, click, delete. All of them. So you're not standing out, right? Even the things that you're trying to do to market and stand out, you're not standing out. So the other thing I'd say is even the things that we think are differentiators aren't actually differentiators. Again, I appreciate your candor in advance. How many of you, when somebody says to you, what makes you different from your competitors? How many of you say, well, we're creative? Really, nobody? How many of you say, we have great service, right? If you look around the room, it's a lot of hands, right? So even the things that we think are the things that make us stand out are the things, they're exactly the same as the people who we are competing against. And that's why we need to hit the target. So what I'm going to be talking to you about today is from my latest book called Hit the Target. It's a parable, and I'll talk to you a little bit about that. So real quickly, you're not going to hurt my feelings. How many of you have read the book? Well, shit, that does hurt my feelings. Damn. Well, real quickly, it's a parable, but it's essentially a work, a a framework that I've created when working with small business development clients. And what I've found is it works with all of us too. The acronym TARGET, T stands for target, A stands for attract, R stands for reach. And those are the three things that we're going to talk a little bit about today. G stands for go get it. This is something we're pretty good at in this industry. That's the sales piece. E stands for building enthusiasm, enthusiastic brand ambassadors. And T stands for track. But today, we're going to focus on the T, the A, and the R. We're going to figure out how to target, attract, and reach new customers. So first, we do the T. We have to identify that perfect customer. If everyone is your customer, no one is your customer, right? And so once you know the perfect customer, and one of the things that has been exciting to me today, and I was talking to Danny Rosen about this today, is that so many conversations I'm having today, so many of the speakers I'm having today are showcasing that I'm on the right track with my business, and my guess is with you as well. If you are in a crowded room today, right? We were all kind of networking, and there was all kinds of conversations and all that stuff. It's really hard to hear in here, especially I just had my 50th birthday, and so my hearing's going and all kinds of other stuff. It's really hard to hear. But what breaks through the noise? Your name. If someone yells Scott across the room, you immediately turn, even if it's so loud and there's so much noise to break through. By identifying that perfect customer, one of the things that you do is you speak directly to them, right? You know what their problems are. You know how to message for them. You know what conferences they attend. You know what they're passionate about. And one of the things I love is once you know that perfect customer, once you've identified that T, you know what offers to make them. Now, I know that, as I said, we all sell the same product from the same suppliers at approximately the same price. But when we couch it differently, when we speak to that audience specifically, we can present those solutions in a different way. So one of the first things you can do is identify that perfect customer. So I did this, you know, I started this conversation when I was coaching new businesses or people who are really struggling with their marketing. Like they'd come to me and say, I don't know how to do this. And who are you trying to sell to? Well, everybody. Well, that's where this whole conversation started. I'm like, okay, well, you need to know exactly who you're talking to if you want to create real marketing that's good. But many of you already have a client base, right? Many of you have successful business. Many of you have businesses that are much bigger than mine. So how do you identify your perfect customer once you already have customers? So I want to give you a couple steps. So first, identify your top customers. Make a list. You can actually run a really handy-dandy report right here in CommonSkew. I think it's the Target report, where you can frame it by each year and see who your top customers are. If you're like me, I like to take that list and print them off so that I can color code them and make it all fancy. But who are those top customers right away? Second, what industries do you love working with, right? What are the ones that fire you up? What are the ones that, A, you get great margin from, right? What are the ones that you get to do really creative work with? Who are the people that value you? And I don't know if you're like this, but I am. I find that the people who value my creativity, they value what I do, I tend to do better work for them anyway, right? Who are the customers that you love? Maybe if you've printed them out, mark them in green. What are the customers that give you the groans? Based on that same list, maybe they're marked in red. I call them, this is the business equivalent of the runs, right? These are the ones that make your stomach upset, right? You see them come across the phone, you're like, oh my God, I gotta deal with them again. They always wanna beat me up on price. They don't wanna hear any new ideas. Honestly, they're kind of jerks. Who are those people? And then we identify those clients, industries, and regions where you can do your best work and be joyful about it. I think that, you know, this doesn't necessarily mean that you need to fire all the clients that are not specifically valuing you. And this is one of the pushbacks I get with my own team. They're like, yeah, but I've got all these clients and I don't want to focus on a specific area. Well, it doesn't mean you can't answer the phone, right? But I will say that it has affected how I price things. Right? If I don't want to necessarily say, hey, you're a jerk and I don't want to do business with you, but my margin just got a lot better when I'm going to work with you. Mike Michalowicz, who's one of my favorite authors, talks about this. He says, you price it accordingly. You price it a project so that if that person you can't stand working with says yes, you're like, well, for that price, okay. But If you don't have the time, treasure, and talent to chase all of those businesses, spend the time that you have chasing the ones that actually bring you joy and allow you to do your best work. Now, one of the things I would say, and I'd stepped away, what do we think? How many distributors in the room? Cool. How many suppliers? Awesome. I thought it was a mix. Okay, so one of the things when I talk about this, suppliers sometimes kind of go like this, and I wanted this presentation to be valuable for both. So I will tell you, you can do this if you are a supplier. So this is Stephanie West from PCNA. She has no idea that she is in this slide. I thought about telling her, but then I thought she might tell me no, and so I said hell with it, and I did it anyway. So Stephanie's with PCNA. Now, she's a regional sales rep, and again, I can't speak to whether this was a company-wide decision or if this was just her and her team, but they decided that they weren't going to focus on every single client. She made a list of, I think it was 50 or so, and she had lunch with me and said, look, I'm putting your team on the list. You guys aren't currently selling as much as it takes to be put on this list, but I think you can. Now, here's a thing for suppliers. And this may just be me, so distributors, if you want to tell them later that I'm just being an asshole, feel free. When a supplier comes to me and says, you guys aren't doing very much business with us, why? It's not a great approach for me. It puts me on the defensive. I'm like, okay, clearly I'm doing something wrong. She did that, but totally differently. She said, look, you guys are doing a certain amount of business with us, and we appreciate it, but I think I need to do more to earn your business. Here are some things I'm willing to do, and what else can I do it? We had that conversation. Now, I will tell you, it's so weird. And again, we're all friends here. So for 3 years in a row, we did about $18,000 with PCNA. That's not very much for the supply. So all the things that they do. And when I say about $18,000, within $100 of it's weird. I couldn't have done it had we tried to do that exact with different projects. We more than tripled our business this year because she put us on her target list. She made a point to come and present lines that she'd never presented. She started doing spec samples with us. She treated us as if we were the perfect customer. And all of a sudden, yes, we felt good about that, but honestly, they just became top of mind for us. It actually shifted my thinking on this so much that for the first time this year, we've created our own preferred suppliers list. I've just always allowed my sales team to buy from whoever they wanted to because of relationships and I wanted them to value those. But we worked as a team to create that because I saw how much it could affect our business. So this is not just a distributor thing, this is a supplier thing. So it really is important that if you focus on this and identify that perfect customer, you can grow with those people. A stands for attract. Now, this is when you build your list, okay? So I want to talk a little bit about rented media versus owned media. This is something I spend a decent amount of time talking with. So I think as entrepreneurs, as marketers, both on the distributor side and on the supplier side, we're really good at rented media. Rented media is when someone else has done the work, they've built up their audience, the radio station, the email people, the magazine, ASI, like you guys have built an audience by creating content over and over and over, and we then pay you to rent that space for a brief period of time so that we can reach people and sell our stuff, right? Rented media. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's important, but the problem is we only do that, right? Owned media, on the other side, is when you have built your list. You've gotten people to opt in, whether it's your email list, whether it's your text, whether it's your direct mail list. People have opted in, and they've raised their hand and said, yes, we want to hear from you. Now, the one piece that I would say is, Mark said, I'm a big believer in content and social media and all that stuff, and that's going to be the next thing we talk about. But if you say to me, great, we have 100,000 people following us on Facebook. Awesome. Very important. Also, rented media. Because if Facebook changes the algorithm, if Facebook goes away, those contacts go away too. Facebook owns that. TikTok owns that. Snapchat owns that. You pick it. Owned media is a piece of an audience that you get to communicate how and when you want to. A stands for attract. It's when you build that list. So great, Kirby. How do I do it? So the first one's like the base, right? Like I put it on the bottom of your website, you put it on social media, hey, opt into our newsletter. And you'll get a couple, right? And that's fine. You want to give people the opportunity to hear from you. If they are raving fans and they want to hear from you, ask them, right? Ask them to sign up. And that's fine. Next up, offers, you know, freebies and specials. And I think that's one of the places where I see people in our industry do this and do it okay. They'll be like, okay, opt in and we'll give you a free setup. Opt in and we'll give you this, right? Some sort of freebie or special. And that's fine. That's kind of the next layer up. But again, it's pretty transactional, right? The big one for me is to create a lead magnet. So lead magnets, many of the people, this is one of the reasons why I was a little intimidated to give this talk, because I think this is a pretty, really smart group that I'm speaking to. So many of you heard this, but a lead magnet is something that essentially that you provide a ton of value to that target audience where they're willing to give you that contact information because it solves a problem. So for the distributors in the room, that might be like, hey, I focus in the golf space. Here's a PDF checklist of 10 things to make sure that you know about if you're planning a golf outing. 4 things you need to know about if you're doing a health and wellness thing. When you do that, and this is, by the way, this is why it's so important to know that perfect customer. I talked about when you know that perfect customer, you know exactly how to create the offer. You also know how to create the lead magnet because it solves a problem for that specific customer, right? You don't need everybody to opt into your newsletter. You want the people that you want to serve to opt into that, right? So creating something of value that allows people to opt in, raise their hand and say, hey, I want to hear from you. There's a ton of different things you can do, but yes, keeping it simple is also pretty valuable in doing this. So an example. So I am talking today, I said, I'm doing the T, the A, and the R today. If you want the GET, I've created a PDF that is the Target Marketing Playbook. Jolie knows about it. Feel free to scan that in. You can put in your information, and we will email that to you for free. It will be back up at the end, so just so you know. But the whole idea is if you listen to this and you're like, okay, this is something I can do better, then this is a way, the free tool that you're going to be giving me, and you're going to see how it is delivered, right? So that's part of the idea, okay? I want to give Jeff an opportunity to scan that. Okay. And like I said, I'm going to put it up at the end, okay? Next up, R. R is for reach. So this is when we reach out, we build our social reach, and we reach across platforms to try and build our brand. This is when we get uncomfortable, folks, right? So other than me, does anybody know, like, the folks who are on this screen? We have Ed Milet, Cody Sanchez, Alex Hormozi, John Acuff, and Gary Vaynerchuk. What do they have in common? Love it. They're really active on social media. True. High value content, podcasts. Anything else? Authors. That's true. What's that? Good looking. Right. All right. Oh, yeah, stop. They have giant brands. They have giant reach. They've built personal brands and reach by creating content and then creating value, just like what we've talked about, right? If they want to sell something today, Gary Vaynerchuk on the right, he's one of the OGs in the content stuff. He sold sneakers for a brief window where he just did a partnership with K-Swiss and he decided to, like, I want to bring back K-Swiss and do some sneakers. You know who bought those sneakers? Me. Because Gary Vee was selling them and I thought they were cool, right? Each one of these people are people that I follow on a regular basis and they speak directly to me and they provide me value. So whatever they recommend, I tend to listen to. But like I said, this is when it gets uncomfortable. This is when that voice in your head starts to get really loud. And I'll tell you, I actually did a thing about this. During the week of my book launch, I really battled with this. Because one of the things I say in the book, one of the things I say is that you have to put yourself outside of your comfort zone and put yourself out there more than you think, because that voice in your head is going to say that you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, and doggone it, nobody likes you, right? You're going to hear that voice say, it's too much. Nobody wants to hear from you anymore. You're going to have to fight through that if you want to continue to build that brand. It's what all of those people have done. They've put out stuff in spite of the fact that they've heard that voice. And one of the things I've said is, if I told you that there was this free way to get customers, build your brand, sell more products, build your network, and, you know, grow personally, would you do it? The answer for many people in this room is no, because it'll be uncomfortable. So it's really important, if you want to grow a brand, you want to build your business, is to spend time in this space. Build across platforms. One of the things that Gary talks about, and he was asked recently, and he's one of those guys that, like, he'll actually put himself out there, and they said, how many times per day, how many pieces of content should you post per day? And he said, 40. Right, you hear that? That was the voice. 40 pieces. Now, he didn't say 40 pieces on Facebook. He was talking across Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, LinkedIn, you know, YouTube Shorts, five or so pieces across those. And I'll tell you, I'm not doing that many because, you know, I have to shower occasionally and run my business. But I will say it did push me to post more than I was, right? Because he has done it and he showed the way to do it. And I'm going to talk about a couple ways here real quick. So, first, tips to build your reach is to know your customer. Why? Because you'll create content that actually helps them. One of the ways when people are just starting to start to build out their reach, start to build content in social media, is I'm like, you guys are talking to customers on a regular basis, both suppliers and distributors. What are the top 10 questions you get? Answer them. There's a piece of content. Like, everybody in this place should have something on their, a blog on their website that says, what the hell is vector art? Right? Like, answering those questions specific to the customer. And again, if you know that niche, right, then you'll be able to know the questions. And by the way, I mentioned this really briefly earlier, but just to spend a second on it. Maybe you're like, well, I don't want to just do healthcare, or I don't want to just do manufacturing. A region can be a niche. If you follow my brand at all, I talk a lot about Coshocton County. It's where I'm from, and I promote good things that are going on in the community, and the businesses in that community like it. It's a part of my marketing strategy, and my name becomes synonymous in the community around that. I've become a media company that's an expert in that region. That's a niche, okay? Next, be consistent and show up. I compare content and social media to fitness, right? Like, the first of the year just happened. And so many people were like, okay, this is it. I'm getting in shape. I'm going to do P90X, and I'm gonna kill it this year. And they'll do it for about 5 days. And at the end of 5 days, they feel gross. Their arms hurt. They don't have six-pack abs. And this sucks, and it doesn't work. And the same thing happens on social media, right? They come to a conference like this, and they're fired up, and they post 17 times a day for about 2 weeks, and then the whirlwind gets in the way. The whirlwind, Scott, second reference to that. It gets in the way, and you're like, and this isn't building my business anyway. Never mind. You don't have to do P90X of content, right? Show up consistently. And you decide what's consistently. You decide how often you have to show up. For those who follow, I do a Monday Minute. I do Delivering Marketing Joy on Wednesday. We do Promo Upfront on Thursday. Come hell or high water, we show up. And it has helped to build our reach and build our brand. And one of the things that was mentioned earlier is that, how do you not get the call that you're like, hey, I've got, I think it was Denise who said it, it's Monday and I need some shit on Friday, right? Now, don't get me wrong, I still get those calls, but I will say one of the things that's shifted is I've started to get calls that say, hey, we've got an event coming up in 6 months, can you help us design it? Which is a totally different conversation, a more profitable conversation, but you do that by building a personal brand that they look at you differently. And many of you have done that, but I want to encourage you to keep doing it. And if you feel weird about it, give first, provide value. One of the people back here said they create high-quality, valuable content. When you know the audience and you know their challenges and you know what they need, when you provide them value over and over again, then that makes it much easier to create more content. One of the things that I see as a mistake is people say, I'm going to do content, and then they just create ads. Ads aren't content, right? I mean, there's some piece of it, but If all you're doing is ask, well, you're not providing value over and over again. Answer questions. I think the book was by Marcus Sheridan, They Ask, You Answer. It is as simple as them saying, why are fiberglass pools better than concrete pools? Answer the questions. Don't try to sell anything. You become the expert. Give first. Sound like anyone you know? It's one of the things that I really respect about the gang here at Common Skew is they, I'm going to get this wrong, but I listen to Skewcast all the time, and it talks about it is created for entrepreneurs in the promotional product space. They know exactly who they're talking to, and they create value on a regular basis, consistently, that answers questions, that takes on topics that are interesting and important to the audience in this room. They act like a media company, and they show up consistently. And it's one of the reasons that I respect all the things that's going on with Common Skew, and I respect so many people in the room. As I promised, if you want this, I did want to put it up again, and I've got 1 minute left. So I think I hit my time. If you have any questions, I'm happy, and I'll be around here today. So thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.